Hello and welcome to Siren Radio. I am fortunately joined by Jack Spring, who is currently on, currently on tour, haven't you? I believe that you was in London last night, was it? Promoting your new movie, 3 Day Millionaire. How are you? Are you all good?
Good, mate. Good. Tired, yeah. We're on about night six tonight. We're doing Blackpool tomorrow. We've got night after night, but yeah, we did London on Wednesday. We're in Manchester last night. So, yeah, it's pretty full on. We're running on not a lot of sleep, but as indie filmmakers, it's what you got to do.
Has it been just a completely hectic and busy schedule? I can only imagine. I mean, we were slightly delayed on making it, which I said can only mean a good thing if we were.
It's just all surreal. Like, surreal's definitely the word. And, it's quite hard to compute. You know, like the fact that we had the London premiere on Wednesday, it just kind of mentally skipped me by, if that makes sense, because it's also kind of surreal and the people we had there.
Yeah, I was able to see the kind of reception that you got at Parkway, obviously 3 Day Millionaire, a movie set from Grimsby, kind of taking, you know, a heist version of kind of, well, I mean, you're probably going to be the better person to explain the movie, so how would you define 3 Day Millionaire?
Yeah, so 3 Day Millionaire is a concept, you know, commonly known in Grimsby and Hull, and it basically meant that the trawlermen, you know, would go out to sea for 3 or 4 weeks at a time. They'd come back to land for 3 days, and it was fisherman folklore that if you went back to sea with coin in your pocket, your ship would sink. So they basically went on a massive kind of 3 day session. They'd go down Freeman Street in Grimsby, go to every pub, get these lovely suits made every time they come back, and the film starts like that. And on day three, kind of as what happened in real life, the guys get laid off because the industry dies. And they are roped in to do a heist to save their way of lives.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And this is your second feature film, I believe, isn't it? This is your second feature film. First one, Destination Dewsbury. Am I right in still thinking that it holds the record for you being the youngest feature film director?
Yeah, I think so. It was the BBC that reported that. I don't know how they'll ever check. But,
do you know if that's true or not?
I did it when I was 19, and it got a proper cinema release.
I mean, I'm 20
and,
now, so
you know,
I think...
I was on Amazon Prime and stuff like that. So I'd be surprised if there was someone younger.
But. Yeah, I mean, I'm 20 now, so it kind of puts, you know, my life into perspective. But no, tour de film going well. Good receptions is what it is, as what it's got, and you're more than happy with everything that it's come out, because obviously the movie was slightly delayed, that I'll get onto a little bit later. So, but why make this film? What was so important that you wanted to kind of express, especially from Grimsby, kind of the attachment, because obviously you was born in London, but you've kind of been embraced by the whole, you know, Grimsby. You've been to the, you know, the away games with the football. You've been around the local area. You know, why make this film? Why choose Grimsby in particular? What was the attachment?
Yeah,
there?
So it's where all my dad's side of the family from. So I spent an awful lot of time there as a kid. You know, like every school holiday, we'd go and spend a week with grandparents up in Cleethorpes, and I was bestowed at a young age to becoming a Grimsby Town fan by my dad. I follow the Mariners up and down the country almost every weekend whenever I can. So yeah, my attachment to the town is pretty kind of intimate and emotional, and I was just pretty sick of the town being painted in the bad light. You know, the Grimsby film that came before us that we won't mention again, and shows like Skin was, you know, just painting the town in such a rubbish light, and there's so much story and history, and you know, there's so much character in that town, and you know, the aesthetic of it was grey. It's that kind of post-industrial red brick kind of factory kind of vibes, and you know, it was just an obvious decision to make. And then I got sent a script that was all about Grimsby, and it was a bit of a no-brainer.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, you kind of talk about that movie that that came out that we don't like to name. So I think it was quite nice to have the town kind of painted in a nice light and a good light, especially the area, especially with, you know, the movie that came out, Sacha Baron Cohen, that was kind of a mocking of everything, you know, of the area. And you know, and I don't think that was necessarily, I think it's nice that, you know, you've gone and created this movie that it goes and kind of, you know, shows everything in a good light, the passion, you know, the people that you obviously know. With Sacha Baron Cohen movie that was kind of created, I think it kind of paints, you know, the town, it kind of paints a mocking of the town, doesn't it? And obviously that's not what you experience, and you set out to make a film that was completely against this. And I was fortunate to see the film, and I absolutely loved it. It was It's great to see the kind of set, the locations, you know. He was doing a bit of, you know, spotting from the people, you know, the certain, like, it was on Grimsby Road and stuff like that. And, you know, a lot of the movie was you kind of, you know, it embraced the town, it embraced the locations, which I think was absolutely amazing.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely. I think it's a great film in total as well.
Thank you.
I'm just going to go behind the scenes a little bit. I was, when I was researching for this, for the interview, I noticed that you came, that you'd gone to an interview, which was that you had a significantly harder time securing funding for this movie than you did for Destination Dewsbury. Is that correct? I think you said that it was harder to kind of secure the funds because there was more involved, there was more money that needed to kind of be funneled into the pop project.
Yeah, it was like 10 times the budget, the last one. And obviously the investors that you build when you're raising 150K, you know, the people that can put in 10, 15 grand are kind of extremely helpful. And then same people, you know, a lot of them put money into this, but 10, 15 grand doesn't make a big dent in the budget. So you're kind of, you're almost starting again with your investor network. And
yeah.
I think I spent too long trying to raise the money in London. And obviously London investors didn't have the kind of social or emotional connection to the film that our investors who ended up financing it do. And we raised, I think, like something like 90% of the budget was raised in Grimsby. I think we only had one investor that wasn't from Grimsby.
Really?
You know, so we had corporate sponsors from Grimsby, like local companies. Mm. We had investors, you know, private individuals. And, yeah, you know, as you say, the whole thing was shot there. You know, the whole thing is about the town. And yeah, I was just sick of the way it was being represented, and you know, it's I feel lucky to have kind of got there first in kind of doing the town justice and doing it properly.
Yeah, well, so it was kind of even from you kind of filming it and being like from, you know, spending time in Grimsby and Cleethorpes, etc., it was still kind of a town funded base, which I can only imagine probably adds to your, you know, interest in making the movie as well as, you know, anything else. The idea that funding came from Grimsby and from local people, it was, you know, it was a film made about locals, from locals, essentially, is how I would maybe say it feels.
Yeah, but, I think we're all just sick of the town being painted in an unfair light by kind of everyone kind of outside of Grimsby. And, you know, we just wanted to do the town justice, and, you know, I feel very lucky that these people, you know, these wonderful people back me. And, you know, it's something that's kind of locally, you know, really locally produced in every kind of sense of the word, but something that's going to get an international release and, you know, spread its wings pretty far.
Yeah, you say about an international release. What's the, obviously it's in kind of, well, it comes out today when we are recording this, 25th of November. So it comes out to today. What was kind of the plan afterwards? Is it, we say about an international release, I know Destination Dewsbury went on, was it Amazon? I know it was on Amazon,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
It was on Amazon. Will the same kind of process be made for this movie as well, or what you're hoping?
Yeah, so generally how film works, you know, it comes out in cinemas and digital kind of similar time. For us, it's the same day, which is, yeah, today, the 25th of November. So if you're listening to this, it's out now. And then you'll maybe do a TV deal or a deal with a streamer kind of 6 months down the line or whatever, and then you start doing airline deals, hotel deals, stuff like that. And you kind of do that for each territory. So it's coming out in the States in February.
Oh, is it got an international? Is it in the States in February then? Is
that kind of
that's
right.
What I was kind of going for. I didn't know if it was like. So, what is it kind of worldwide around the US, or is there certain states, or
it'll be across the US. It's all North America, so US and Canada, and each territory will have its own release date. You know, so kind of an awful lot of countries this will be released in, and you know, we've done various deals across Europe already, and the international sales guys are working on that. But that's it's a process I'm a little bit removed from. But you know, I get an update every now and again with different dates that it's released and dubbing and different posters in different languages and all that fun stuff.
I mean, also you kind of the movie being made, I can only imagine, you know, it's going out to America, which probably haven't heard of, you know, the town Grimsby or, you know, any of the local area, you know, so that can only, you know.
Yeah.
I can imagine that's quite a big thing for you to kind of, you know, it's not only a movie that you've made, but it's also kind of part of your upbringing, which I can only...
Yeah.
You know, which
I
is
mean,
nice.
I lived in America for a couple of years in Chicago, and I've got a lot of mates out there and in LA for work, obviously, and they will struggle with the accent. And they you know, they'll probably have to watch it with subtitles because it's the Grimsby accent, and you know they struggle enough with my South London one, never mind North East Lincolnshire twang. But yeah, it's you know, they all know what Grimsby is now because of the Ryan Reynolds Wrexham documentary.
Yeah,
I've been banging the Grimsby drum out there for a long time, and they've all texted me watching Grimsby Town in the series.
Ryan Reynolds kind of. Would you take over potentially? Would you follow in there? Maybe would you want to do something like that? Or
I think Grimsby Town have the most wonderful stewards at the minute. Between Jason and Andrew. Yeah. Andrew's actually my business partner at our production company.
Oh really? Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. Wow, that's quite.
Yeah. And Debbie Cook, who's the CEO, and all the team. Considering where the club was a couple of years ago, it's pretty remarkable.
It's quite amazing, especially for the time being made, the move being made and everything. Did they invest in the movie, Stockwood, and was they part of the people that invested in the movie? I know they was big on stuff like that. So.
Yeah, so Andrew's our business partner at Shush. He's one of our investors. Yeah, and you know we're lucky to work with him day in, day out. You know, he's a director of our company, and I can't say a bad word about it. But he's absolutely fantastic and backs us, you know, every way he possibly can. He's just a genuine, lovely human, and yeah, feel very lucky to work with him.
I just want to talk about the movie being delayed because it was originally scheduled to come out. Was it summer 2020? I think it was originally designed, or shooting was meant to start in summer 2020.
Yeah, I mean, shooting was just always going to happen whenever we raised the money, to be honest. You know, I think we've planned for every summer since 2019. Then obviously COVID came along and didn't help things too much. You know, trying to raise money in the worst economic crash of a generation didn't help things. But it was actually, you know, during COVID that we did actually manage to raise the money. And we shot it last summer, so summer 21. And we finished the film in August this summer, so summer 22. And today it's out in the world.
Yeah, absolutely, and I can, you know, you're incredibly proud of that, but I can only imagine that during the pandemic, everyone was going through everything, and you must have been thinking, I really want to make this film made. So that must have been on your mind as well.
Yeah, it was a strange one, the pandemic. It was like a kind of forced holiday that nobody wanted in terms of, you know, if you had a pretty easy ride through it and you weren't losing relatives to the disease. And you know, I was lucky enough to be in that camp. It was actually, you know, not the worst time because you could have some time off and not feel bad about it.
Was there several conversations that were going on between, obviously, you and Giles Anderson, who is the producer on the movie, was there several conversations going on thinking, you know, returning to shooting? Because we were slowly seeing, you know, certain kind of projects were coming back. And was that kind of a thing of, like, throughout the entire pandemic, when do we continue to shoot again? Or was you just kind of taking a step back from it because you'd put so much into it so far?
It was purely, you know, we were still raising the money during the pandemic, so it was, you know, it wasn't a question of us wanting to do it. It was we'd do it as soon as we had the money in, which we did. But we were all actually key workers during the pandemic, so we could, you know, I think after the first couple of months, we could go back to work, and you know, it was we kind of could park where we like, and it was quite helpful. Yeah, you know, I think at the time we probably used the pandemic as a bit of an excuse, but in reality we just hadn't got the money.
Absolutely. I mean, we all go through something, wasn't we? I just want to quickly talk about the cast as well. It's quite a strong cast. Joe Armstrong, James Burrows, Colm Meaney, and also like very big actors, but also you was able to get a TikToker by the name of Grace Long. What was the kind of, what was the appeal with that? Was it something that you was watching on? And obviously Colm and James, Jonas and James are big actors, but what was kind of the process of getting them on board with the movie?
Yeah, so with Grace, a TikToker, I had no idea she was a TikToker, until the rap party when my cousin who lived in Grimsby started screaming when she saw her. I literally had no idea. She was just the best for the role. She did a take for us and was amazing. And yeah, it was a joy throughout. And all the other actors, the kind of process, apart from Colm. So Colm, you know, the producers I worked with before, so I kind of left that to them. But everyone else, they did tapes. Okay. You know, they did a scene for me. I think I watched about 6,000 tapes in total for all the characters. And yeah, they were all, you know, by far the most right ones for the role. And yeah, you know, like James Burrows, he did his tape. I saw it on the Friday. By Saturday, I was in his family home in Derby and took him to Grimsby Chesterfield pre-season friendly to show him what Grimsby's about.
I saw this. I saw this on one of the interviews that kind of maybe taken around to experience what the town was about. I think that was probably one of the things. I know I've seen that in an interview. So did you do that just for James, or was that for many other? Did you
did Jonas? For all of them.
Really, yeah, what so all of them was to kind of experience how the town was.
Yeah, so I had them for 2 weeks in rehearsals. We were in Grimsby Central Hall, which is a place very close to my heart. And we rehearsed on the stage there for a couple of weeks, and we used it as our production base during filming. So we were eating breakfast there and dinner there, stuff like that. And should I do that one again?
No, it's all right, it's fine. It's
So I had him in rehearsals for 2 weeks in Grimsby Central, which is a place very close to my heart. And during that time we'd taken for tours of Grimsby, we went to the football, we'd go to all the local pubs and, you know, meet real three-day millionaires, the ex-Trawlermen, and, you know, all sorts. We went for a day around the museum, and, you know, we went to sea and all sorts of stuff. And yeah, to be fair, absolutely all of them bought right into it. And, you know, I think the love that we all had for the place, is pretty apparent in the film.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot about kind of getting them on board with the town itself, not only, you know, the selling point of the movie, but also what it represents. Why are we making this movie, kind of thing?
All the characters, you know, love Grimsby pretty intimately, so they need to as real people. And
absolutely. Just quickly before I let you get off, obviously this movie massively takes inspiration from, and I know that you've said that Guy Ritchie is a massive inspiration for you. Was that what you had in mind, or is that what you're going for most of them, or like, how was the process around it? Because it very much would reflect something like that.
Yeah, I mean, sort of, but not really. You know, like, I think style is mainly dictated by the script, and the way that the script was written, you know, dictated itself to that kind of breaking the fourth wall and a couple of freeze frames, introducing the characters, and, you know, all of that stuff was in the script, you know, so it wasn't, you know, and I don't think we really just, you know, jump on the back of a Guy Ritchie movie. I think the stuff at the start, you know, is a little bit snatchy or a little bit lockstocky when they're all being introduced, but kind of after that, you know, after the first 5-10 minutes, it kind of takes on a kind of style in itself. And I think, you know, there's influences in there, obviously. There's bits of Edgar Wright, there's bits of Shea Meadows, but it all kind of comes together as its own pretty original feeling thing.
Yeah, and you could definitely kind of tell that it was, you know, there was influences in there, obviously, but these are massive, but you definitely have a kind of style of your own that kind of mixes. Because I think it works with, like, how the movie's presented to have that, but also that kind of independent feeling I think it's quite incredible to kind of mix it together. And In preparation to this, I actually hadn't watched Destination Dewsbury, and then when I found out you was kind of making this movie and the trailer, I actually watched it, and it's very much, you know, you can definitely tell there's a certain style there, which I really enjoy.
I watched it back for the first time, like, in 4 or 5 years, like last week, and you know, it's clearly of a very low budget, and, you know, there's lots of things I do differently now, but it's a cute film, man. It's funny, it's got cool characters, it's pretty quick, and I'm very proud of what we did on that film. But yeah, 3 Day Millionaire is certainly my best bit of work, kind of, I guess, as you'd hope 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah, was you watching it through critical eyes, or was it just a pure?
No, really. I mean, because I'd not seen it for so long, I'd kind of forgot most of what happened. So all the comedy was fresh to me, and, you know, quite funny. And it was just. I'm a big fan of, you know, not forgetting what you've done before, and, you know, for me the journey is more important than the destination. You know, if you, as Frank Carter says, if you're all about the destination, then take a flight. I don't know. I always watch back my old stuff, you know, every now and again, and then, you know, it kind of becomes part of who you are. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of which, is there any plans to do something else after the press is done from this? Is there any writing going on already? What's your plans after the press is done for this movie? Is there any plans? Or
I'm going to have a couple of weeks off, I think, and then recharge. But yeah, after that, we're doing a Christmas movie next year, all set in York.
Oh, nice.
Really beautiful, nice script.
Has the planning already begun for that in terms of locations, etc.?
Not that advanced, no. We're still finishing bits of the financing and attaching cast. And, you know, it's a slightly different process to 3 Day. It's a lot bigger budget. So you do things called pre-sales where you sell the rights to certain territories and it all gets a little bit next level in terms of financing.
Yeah. A little bit.
So we're doing all that in a minute. And, you know, Ursh, me, Andrew, Giles and Adam's company, you know, we've got the next kind of 3 or 4 lined up. We know what we're doing and... you know, we've just got scripts and projects at various points and, we're just knocking through them, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for your time. I really do appreciate it. And I hope that, you know, all goes well and up the Mariners.
Up the Mariners.
Thank you for your time. See you soon, mate.
Cheers, Jamie.
Cheers.